There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and we're back for our Dragon Con countdown. This, of course, is our first in our series of podcasts for Dragon Con. A little look behind the mirror, behind the curtain, real quick.
Podcast, a little bit of both.
This podcast is being recorded 70 days out. So take guests' announcements or anything like that with a grain of huge grain of salt. So, but of course, as always for these series of podcasts, Lee is joining me. Lee, how are you?
I am sounding like crap, but I'm here and I'm awake. And I'm sucking on cough drops, but other than that, I'm doing really good. And I have most of my schedule done and ready. And no, you can't see it, John.
Oh, you haven't published it yet? Why haven't you published it yet?
Yeah, I'll show you later, John. So, but yes, it's going to be great. This is our 25th year of Dragon Con, which is kind of hard to believe in a lot of ways.
I actually, until you mentioned it just as before we started recording, I didn't even realize that that was the case.
Yeah. 25 years.
25 years ago.
We are now older than dirt, if I am correct. As I remember basic science, everything starts to decompose at around 23 years. So we are now officially older than dirt. That's awesome.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Great. So that makes
me feel
good.
And maybe we've gotten
rid
of some of the funk that started in some of the early years in some of those gaming rooms over at the Omni. Who knows? So, okay.
No, I'm pretty sure they're probably still cleaning those out. Anyway. Stop.
They tore the Omni down.
Forget it.
This is the only way they can
get rid of it. Oh, shit. We can't get rid of that funk. We're just going to tear that damn thing down. There we go.
And, of course, that is our very special guest for the evening, Regina, whose official title is Mistress of Everything.
Senior Director of Programming.
Senior Director of Programming.
I thought you said head chick in charge.
No? That'll work, yeah. Ladies,
people
we'll
use the B for that chick part, though.
Oh, okay, well.
At least I know.
I don't work at Walmart,
I can't believe it. It doesn't seem like it's been a year, does it? Or even, like, two months out of the year.
I know, it's crazy. They all start to blend together after a while, because I'm already starting to work on next year, and I'm not done with this one yet.
Oh, God.
My first questions to you is going to be, when did you start planning this year's con?
We already had some things, because we always have some guests that we can announce at closing ceremonies for the next year. So, yeah, about this time last year, I would have been starting to get some of that stuff rolling for this year.
Oh, wow.
So we have a few things that we already know, like I said, that we can announce. Like, we had two of our guests of honor in the can by the con,
last year. Yeah.
So that we could announce them at the end of the convention.
Who did you announce at the end of the convention last year?
Terry Brooks is our literary guest of honor, and Michael Whelan is our artist guest of honor.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah. And of course,
and it was very early that we announced Shatner and Nimoy this year.
Yeah. They had a good time the last time they were here.
They did. They are awesome.
And that is
awesome. Money.
Well, yes. There is that too. There is a common theme, though. I think most, I would say, a good probably 99% of the guests do have a great time, and that's why they usually want to come back. Is that not the case?
That is true. A lot of people, particularly the first time, if they've never been here before, they really don't understand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them compare it to some of the other large conventions on the West Coast. Where, as I said last year, we're still a fan convention, even though we're 40,000 people, we're majorly a fan run convention, mm-hmm. and still really based in fandom, and we're not so corporate. And so they're not used to that vibe, you know, yeah. and how people are friendly, but most of the time, occasionally you get that rabid person who just doesn't know where the line is, but
you know, you do get that rabid person, but I also have to say, and I'm
occasionally, but very there's occasionally, enough other people around to kind of say, dude, please.
Yeah. I just know, like, last year, I cannot remember his name, and I am so sorry, Fargo from Eureka.
Yeah.
Neil Grayson.
Fabulous guy.
And he actually spent like two evenings down at one of the bars just chatting with people and talking to them and was having a great time. And he was like, and I saw him. Sorry.
That was really cool about him is that I had one of my judges for the masquerade who got ill and couldn't come to the convention. Mm-hmm. And at the convention is when I found out. And he stepped right up and said, "Oh man, that sounds like that'd be great. That's so fun." So he ended up being one of my masquerade judges because he was just having a blast.
Oh, he was having a blast. And I think that's the other thing too. And I can't remember who a couple of people have said it. I know Michael Hogan has said it. And a few others who have always said, you go to the Battlestar Galactica people, a lot of them, and I've actually heard it from Chris Owens, who came from X-Files, but that you go to a lot of the other convention because it's work. It's what you have to do. It's a part of the publicity. One that's going on very soon over on the West Coast that we don't talk about.
Really large.
That's 100,000 people.
Really large. Yeah.
That you go to those because they're work. You come to Dragon Con, there is an element of work, but you come because it's also fun. It's a fun convention. It's as you said, fan run, and it is still fan hearted in a lot of ways that I think people don't always see. And that's what I love about it. I loved it when I was an attendee. I love it now as a director. That's why we keep doing this because, you know, it's not for that big bucks or anything.
No, it's for love, honey. It's for love.
It's for love. So, and that was it. Actually, somebody asked me just recently, and they said, how many people, because I was talking about what we do with people I work with, and they said, well, so how many people are, you know, employed by Dragon Con? And I went,
two.
And I started looking at my hand, and I went, one, two, three, maybe four?
Yeah, two and a half.
Like half-time? Yeah.
Two and a half.
And they were like, oh, my God.
We have a couple of part-time people that come in to help us with the office stuff because of all the paperwork that's coming in and all the, you know, art that's being shipped in for the art show and all that logistical stuff that has to happen. So, but we have two full-time people in the office, Chip and Brenda.
Chip and Brenda. God love them.
Yeah. And Tony comes in closer to the convention, who is my second. So that's it. All the rest of us are volunteers.
Now, so for people that are either new to the convention or have never heard this, or didn't hear your interview last year, what is it that your job actually is? And explain like the terminology of like second, because we did hear that a lot and nobody really ever explained what it was. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory a little bit.
Your second is your assistant director, basically. And if you've should fall over dead, they are supposed to know what to do. I'm not saying they will really know what to do after they freak out, but they should be able to somewhat run your department.
They're also the person I would say
they should be, you know, very much in tune with you about what you're doing, what you're planning, why you're doing it this way. Because there is a lot of times a why.
Yes.
What did you do it at this time for? Well, if you did it this time, it would be opposite this thing that y'all all want to go to.
Or this was also the room size we could get at this time.
This was what was available and, you know.
I'll also say, as a director, the second is the person who looks at you sometimes and went, yeah, you need a break. You need to go eat. You need to go eat. You need, really, I've seen you drink 2 Diet Cokes and you haven't had a potty break in like 6 hours. You need to go get food and
sit
down.
A few minutes, and I've got this.
Yeah.
They're the person that watches your back.
Yeah, and they're great. And when you have a good one, you don't ever want to lose them.
Exactly. But they are the person that watches your back and makes sure that one that you know that your staff is not ready to kill you.
Usually. Thank God.
Those kind of things. Yeah, you need to go walk around for a few minutes. You're giving everybody the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah,
everybody
you need
you're
a break.
About to explode. Go get a Diet Coke.
go sit down somewhere. Now, Regina, as we said, you're the senior director of programming, which means you do what?
I control the schedule. I know that is a very dangerous thing I just said, but I am the person that controls the schedule. I am not the person that publishes the schedule, but I'm the one who gets it to that point. So, yes, every single person that got assigned to that panel in that big room that you're mad because somebody that you really loved is on another panel in another room. Yeah, that was my fault. Sometimes, and I'm going to bring up someone who is here this year, who is someone that Lee has requested several times. Someone like Mark Shepard, who's been on everything in the last 3 years.
Every amazing show in the world. He is awesome.
Everything
we love Mark.
He is
so cool.
He has to split up between things.
Oh, heck yeah.
Everybody wants to see him on the show that they're passionate about.
All right.
Has to make that call, and I'm that person.
And she's that person. I mean, you think about somebody like Mark Shepard. You think about somebody, there's so many of them, but Mark Shepard is a perfect example of somebody who has been Warehouse 13, Doctor Who,
Buffy,
Supernatural,
Dollhouse,
Buffy,
Firefly,
Firefly. hold on, X-Files,
Leverage.
Years ago.
Leverage.
Which one?
Leverage.
Leverage, yes.
Yes, that's true. He plays the guy who never loses on Leverage.
He's popping up everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. And, much as I love him, and I love seeing that episode of Doctor Who, I was like, damn it, another show.
Damn it, how do we do this?
And it just happened, so yeah, he's going to be doing one panel on that because it just happened, you know. Yeah. So, and I have to be the one that says, they did a show 10 years ago, which they had a big part on, but now they're doing something new.
Which
so
one?
So we have to do the thing that's newer more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you're also bringing some people. I mean, Regina, this year's guest list, it is fabulous. I mean, it is really fabulous. And one of them I see when you talk about things people did 10 years ago, you got Sean Patrick Flannery.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get it out, guys. Sorry. Okay. Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah.
Who, for my track, is Dead Zone, but did Boondock Saints, which is a huge fandom movie. I don't know anybody that is a fan of a lot of different, especially anything like procedurals or the Tarantinos, that has not seen Boondock Saints.
Right.
And so to get him is kind of amazing. It's absolutely amazing to have him. And then, you were able to bring in, and I cannot remember his name, I'm blanking on it, the other gentleman who was in Boondock Saints with him.
Can't remember either. Sorry. We're over 300 guests. So
at this point,
But
you're bringing somebody like that. But then you're also, I mean, last year Warehouse 13 had a really great presence. You got some people from the U.S. version of Being Human.
We've got all three leads. Actually, all three leads.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you've got those people that we love seeing. I mean, I am ecstatic about seeing again, and I don't care that it's again and again and again, but I'm ecstatic that a lot of the that a lot of the Battlestar Galactica people. It's not even my track. I'm ecstatic they're coming. But then the great thing is, they're good people. But the other thing is, PAX finally moved.
Yes,
that's helpful.
And that is helpful.
They're not on our weekend.
Gotten from that? Yes. What have you?
Glory,
gotten
glory,
from that?
Hallelujah! I will tell you that when I saw that last year. And that announced that PAX had moved the weekend before us, I did a little squeal. I mean, it was the little squeals that I sometimes see you do, Lee, when you get somebody like, Joe Flannery. Joe Flannery. The first time we got him, Lee read the prize report and went, in the middle of eating, and everybody thought somebody was stabbing her or something.
I made a noise that only dolphins make when they're on helium.
And it was, but I did that dance because I was like, my God. And that's how we got Jonathan Colton.
Yes,
and how we got Will Wheaton.
And Will Wheaton. Yep.
Which is pretty damn dumb.
Exactly.
Because what, John? Wheaton, you didn't realize Will Wheaton was on there?
No, I realized. I said it was just a green.
Will Wheaton is big in, I think he has some interest in gaming company.
Yeah.
So he always goes to PAX.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And so that was when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, we might have a chance at Will Wheaton. You know, because he's one of the only Star Trek people we haven't had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a good thing.
Oh, that's
for me.
True.
I was very happy about that. Yeah. We got our last captain last year. That was Bacula. He was the.
Yes.
I will say that at the point we got Bacula, I was telling everybody else on the guest committee, no more Star Trek. No more Star Trek.
No more Star Trek.
No more Star Trek. We had 17 people on Star Trek. We don't need any more Star Trek. It's great. It's fabulous. We don't need any more Star Trek. I don't have any place to put them. I said, and my only caveat was, unless we get Scott Bacula.
Well,
we got Scott Bacula. So
you're going to have to go grab Pine now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about for the original, you know.
I'm talking about the one that counts. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
the original. No, we're talking the original. Yeah. But then, okay, so let's also talk about, you got three really big gets in the past 7 days.
Yeah.
You did. I mean, we've got Ernest Borgnine, Martin Landau.
Yeah.
And the mother of all holies, which is Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
That's nice.
I can't tell you how long that we've been working on that.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
It is awesome.
I made the squeal noise in my house.
I was very happy when we finally got the contract in because we've been working on it for a while.
Well, how does, since we're on that topic a bit, how does all that work? I know we kind of talked about it last year,
it's the big mystery.
Yeah, of course, everybody.
Oh, and there's so many wrong rumors about it.
Yeah, why did you get so and so? Why didn't you get this and that? You know, it's not always 90% of the time. It's not up to you guys because either they're available or they're not available, and whether they either want to come or they don't want to come. So, that's that's nothing you can do about that. But when there is interest from an artist or an actor,
DragonCon
or whatever,
DragonCon employs a online application system. Mm-hmm. The guest, the potential guest or their agent, as you know, many in the media people would have an agent, applies for them to show their interest. Some, yes, we do go after. We will try, work with agents we've worked with before and say, we'd really be interested in so and so. Supernatural is a perfect example. Speaking of Lee's track.
Example. There we go.
Well, I've been trying to get people from Supernatural for several years now because I love the show myself. So
I think that would be the number is six, right?
Yeah,
that's
something
how many
like
years
that.
We've been
pretty much, yeah. It's pretty much since the beginning. But and so we do have some agents that we've worked with in the past that that can work that. They know they've worked with them at other conventions or they've worked with them on other projects. But generally speaking, we need them to apply, and it's, and even the guests don't understand. What do you mean I have to apply? Well, we don't know if you're available, for one thing. Particularly in the media field, a lot of times they're filming on Labor Day. with the advent of so much filming going on in Canada, Labor Day is not a holiday in Canada. This is an American holiday. So they may have work schedules, which is why sometimes we only get people for a limited amount of the convention. We don't get them the whole time. Sometimes we don't get them until Saturday because they're filming until late Friday and they're taking the red eye.
Well, I think the other thing too is so many of the shows now also are filming on a little bit of an off schedule too.
Yes, it's more hiatus.
There's not just the big three. Yeah, it's not just the big three anymore. They're doing it different schedules too for a lot of different reasons.
For instance, a couple of years ago, Edward James Olmos was going to come and was posted. And then he got in the Green Hornet, and they started filming on our weekend, the week before, and we're going to be filming through the weekend. If they have work, work always comes first. You know, they have a great time, and they'd love to be here, but hey, they're paying me a lot of money.
Right.
So sorry. And it always takes precedence. I mean, that's...
And to be fair, they do make money at the convention, but not nearly what they're going to be making.
No.
Working. Exactly. Plus, that's their job, right?
That's their job. That's right. And they're doing the thing that we love them for. That's why we went to see them, because they're doing their job very well. So we want to see them in whatever new project they're in, you know, hopefully. So, so that's always a case. Like I said, there's always some people that, you know, that's on the dream list.
What is your dream list?
Oh, okay. One of my dream lists would be Harrison Ford.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're going to go. Go
big. Dream.
Dream list, because we've had Mark Hamill. We've had Mark Hamill a couple times, actually. But and who is a wonderful person. I will just put that out there.
By the way, who gets Harrison Ford when he shows up? Which track?
Gene programming.
That would be Regina. I wouldn't even try it. That would not.
Star Wars, of course, would get it first. Then,
No, don't go on record as saying anything on this.
Well, Star Wars, because I mean, obviously, Han Solo would get at least one panel. And then I would have to break it up because, you know,
it's Harrison
Ford. Done so much. Yeah. I mean, he's just done so much. And that is where a lot of times, if you see something listed in Maine, it's because it doesn't fit in any other category or it fits in too many categories.
Right.
So stop your squabbling. It's going to be in Maine. You know, it's just, you know.
And the other issue there is questions. Yeah, you know? You're all there.
Some questions and I'll see what I can fit in, you know. So
I think somebody the other like thing that, there too, you know, is
Stephen King.
That'd be nice.
Who you know doesn't do many conventions anymore. He's very reclusive and you can understand that, but you know, I'd still like to see him. Yeah, so before I die. But you know, people like that.
Nice.
Icons. That's, you know, people that are icons. That's
I think the other reason we're doing a lot of this is to clear up misconceptions and the rumors too. And because I think a couple of things is because you just talked about how we get guests at Dragon Con. So some of the rumors that we hear all the time and are not true. As you said, there is an application process. They go through a guest committee. They're invited. They do a contract.
Right.
Track directors have nothing to do. We beg, we plead, we give you our wish list every year.
Yes.
But that's what that is. I mean, it's not, you know.
We ask the track directors for people that they would like to have on their track and how they would use them.
Yep.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have an idea what you're, you know, obviously there are some people that are automatic, you know how you're going to use them. Okay.
Right.
But yes, who are those wish list people? Because not everybody is an expert in every field. That's why we have track directors, because they're more expert in their field of interest.
Yep.
Versus, you know, I know very little about anime.
Mm-hmm.
However, the anime director, Jake Tarbox, has worked in the industry for years. Mm-hmm. So he knows a lot about it. So if I ask him, is this, well, this guy on IMDb looks really good. Is he?
Right.
Or are these all bit parts? Yep. He will know that. You know?
Well, and I think, all right, so there's that one thing. So the track directors
do
that.
But the big thing is that a lot of people say, well, why doesn't the so-and-so track go after?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if they can get us a contact information.
We're more than willing to try.
We'll try. But, you know, a lot of things, you know, there is a cost-benefit analysis. There does uh-huh. come to a point where, you know, the pod is only so big, and when you've got 350 guests posted,
already,
you know, you're starting to run into that budget. Well, and so people that are, you know, maybe coming from overseas, you have to really consider, what are they bringing to the show?
Mm-hmm.
Because their plane tickets can be thousands of dollars.
Mm.
Vancouver round trip.
Oh, geez.
Is a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Because they won't drive across the river to Seattle.
You know? Well, some will and some won't. It just
some will and
yes.
some won't. But I'm just saying that, you know. So there is that, you know, you have to look at what they're bringing. Obviously, you know, a big name recognition is going to benefit with publicity and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be other aspects, that we will consider, of course, but areas fill up, you know. There's only, like I said, when I got to a point where I was like, no more Star Trek. We've filled that quota.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for
what's on our wish except list. For, and I know, yeah, you know. I mean, 2 years ago when Mr. Shatner decided to come, I mean, mm-hmm. that was very late. I know they had been working on it for a while, but it was very late.
But when he
came, that was
very late.
Yeah, but that was like one of those things that it was like, you know what? You don't say no. You know.
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter.
Wasn't Wasn't it when he the first time he attended a couple of years ago, that was like less than a month out, wasn't it, when he
Yes.
when he was
It was
there?
All it was right at 2 weeks, wasn't it? Right at 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I remember it was also our last DragonCon meeting, so. The other rumor that people have all the time is, well, they're coming because we complained about you not getting these people. And it's like, yeah, no. Because that's, I mean, I know, and it's like, no, we've been trying for a long time.
We've been trying for a long time. A lot of times they're working.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest hurdle a lot of times. And a lot of times there's the, you know, they don't really know who we are.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, particularly if they live on the West Coast. It's a long flight.
Yep.
Once we get them here,
they love it.
They love it. And most of the time, they want to come back year after year. But sometimes, you know, they just, they're real trepidatious about it. They're just like, oh, it's like all these other, you know, it's like, you know, Comic-Con, or, you know, it's this or it's that, or it's, and we are, yeah, we're different.
That's saying the very least you could possibly say about it.
And, yes. And yeah, and we're, I mean, you know, we, it's
we're
hard
nice.
To explain until you've been here.
We're fun. We're nice.
We are fun.
We're nice. We're Southern.
We're very fun, actually. And one of the things, and you know, the costumes. People just, oh my God, the costumes amaze me every year.
Right.
And people just, go all out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not used to seeing that either.
Yeah.
They're, you know.
Well, I think the other thing, and I always, it's always very hard to explain it to somebody, but it's that you will, if you want to do something, you can find it to do. What do you want to do? You want to learn a new game? We got a new game. Oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Trust me, we can find somebody to play a new game.
Yeah.
You want to just walk around and chat with people you've never met before about Firefly? Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, you can sit in the lobby of the Hyatt and do that. I mean, it is anything you can do in a fandom-related way, and I think that's what's so great about it. And you have everybody from the people that, you know, will argue the difference between Trekker and Trekkie to the people who are just like, I just enjoy seeing all of this stuff and I like to come to this. And so you have...
It's
levels of the fandom, too, which is very good to me.
I actually saw something in a LiveJournal the other day where someone said that they felt like they were home.
Yeah.
That they had never gone to a place, and they were very nervous because they were going here. They were coming here for the first time by themselves. They had no other friends with them. And that they were able to strike up a conversation with people they'd never met before. And have passionate discussions about things that they were both interested in 5 minutes, you know, and that these people became instant friends, and that was the first thing that they had first time they'd felt that way, you know, that they had found their people.
Yeah. You have found your tribe. You really have found your tribe.
That's right.
In a lot of
found
ways.
Your tribe, and you know, and that's what's so great about it. You know, really. I don't know how else to describe it. That is that sense of community is one of the things that's really great about Dragon Con.
Well, I also think it's really funny. My mother came a couple of years ago, and for the first time, and it was really funny because for years I'd been talking about doing this. And all of a sudden she went, you actually work while you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
And my husband was there and he looked at her and he went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not only while she's here, before it, after it. I mean, this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mother was like, I didn't realize how much you worked. And I was like, yes, this is what I do. This is what I do.
Yeah. And what's really funny, too, is that it's not just people that are about a lot of conventions, particularly smaller ones, tend to be focused on one thing. You know, it'd be just Stargate or just Star Trek or just this. But you can indulge in all of your fantasy areas, you know.
Oh,
You can go from a panel on making armor to, you know, a game to, you know, Whedonverse to alt history to Your Track and X-Files to...
Right.
Authors, an author you've never met before, and it's all within five blocks. And you're going to find people that are also interested in all of those things.
Well, you're also going to see the gambit, and the three of us are talking, and we're all about the same age. So, but you're going to see those who are the high school kids who are coming, and then the young adults, and then... My son came to his first Dragon Con at 6 weeks. I was actually working. He was there. So you see the parents with the babies who are passing them off between panels and stuff like that. And then you see those who have now, my child.
We have
is,
our new generation. We have
a
generation of Dragon Con people.
He gets the book and he goes through it and he makes his own highlights. And he comes up with, you know, the panel, his first choice, his second choice, and his, I guess I could go here if I can't get into either one of those choice.
Right.
I mean, you know, so that's where we, you know, and it's great for that. And John, I cut you off. I'm sorry. You had a question. I'm sorry.
Did I have a question? Sure.
I thought you did.
Well, I think you tried to jump in.
Well,
just like last year, Lee and I get off on a tangent, and that's, you know, there you go.
Well, you know, Lee had sort of mentioned, oh, you know, you only did this because we complained. Now, with popularity.
We do listen.
I want to say.
But not just because you complain.
Well, with popularity.
Yes.
Comes. Its own set of problems.
Yes.
And I know
challenges.
Challenge. I know it's something that we talked about just for a moment before we started that you wanted to address, which was last year, and I, you know, it's been hit and miss over the last few years. But last year, it seemed a little worse than in prior years. Is the badge pickup process?
Yeah.
It comes with the territory of getting more and more popular, or just, you know, trying to shift things around and expanding the hotels that we're in. But this year there is a plan, a new plan, right? And you want to talk about it?
Yes. We have actually published it on the website. A lot of people have seen it, but we are instituting a new barcode system. If you pre-register, you used to get a little postcard, okay, that tells you, you know, where to go and, you know, hey, we got your money and yes, you're registered. Now that postcard is going to be very important because on that postcard is your barcode. Your barcode has all your little information encoded in it. So what we're going to do is you're going to come up and we're not going to have the ABC lines.
Well, okay. You know, for me, for whatever reason, I always have the
choice ABC line. Through death lines, yeah. And people would say, oh, well, I'm a Z, so I got through after they get to the front of the line, you know, which took a while.
Yes, it's true.
Was a challenge.
But anyway, so no more ABC.
But in any case, we're not going to have this. We're going to have terminals and stations, and you'll come up and you'll give them your postcard and your photo ID. You need
photo
to have
ID,
a photo
people.
ID so that we can see that you didn't steal somebody's postcard. Okay.
Very important.
Yes. And and you hand them that and they go beep and it prints off your label and you've got your badge and you're on your way.
And that awesome. All right, now
and
here's
we
the
have
other
test
thing.
We have tested this system.
Yes.
We tested it at a senior director's meeting and it took like 2 seconds, literally, to print this label. And then we actually tested it at the last staff meeting.
Yep.
And we're excited. I will tell you that we do have the backup, the old system we will have as backups. So we will print all those books this year.
Just in case.
In case something happens as an insurance policy. But we are very excited and we think this is going to be awesome.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Hold on a second. All right, you go first.
Which is, what if I forgot my postcard?
What if you forgot your postcard? Then you will be going to the solutions desk, and you will be seeing Chip, who works in our office.
Who is awesome.
Who is awesome. But because he is the one who does registrations all through the year, he is very, very familiar with that system, and he will look you up. You still have to have your photo ID.
Right.
And he will look you up and see, you know, and get your stuff for you. But if you don't have that, you're going to stand in a longer line because you're going to be standing there waiting for Chip to look you up.
Well, it's going to be more than just
the people
Chip,
on the
though,
kiosk
right?
are not going to have that. They're, you know, they're going to have a barcode scanner and a printer.
That's it. That's all they got.
For Chip's sake, I hope it's more than just him, but you get
generally,
the idea.
It's him and a helper, but no, it's him. He's really good at what he does. But that said, I also want to encourage people, if you have pre-registered and you have not received that bright blue card with your barcode on it, or if something has happened to your card's barcode, like the post office half ate it.
Yeah, and that has happened. We've already seen that. Yeah.
Stupidly tore the thing off. As I saw,
not knowing what it was, not knowing that it was important,
not knowing it was important. Please contact Chip at dragoncon.org, and he will send you a new one.
Yes.
Yeah. We at the time,
and I confirmed that with him today that it was okay to say that.
The other thing there is also that it is. I think a lot of people in previous years have said, oh, I'm not going to pre-register. It's just as easy to buy when I get there. It's worth the extra $20, whatever.
Right.
I'm not sure that's the case this year. And
I'm not sure it is. I will say I cannot guarantee that you're not going to have some line. When 20,000 people show up on Thursday morning, all at the same time, thinking they're going to get ahead of the line. Well, it's going to take a little while for us to get through them. But it should be significantly faster.
Yeah. Now,
that but said, I wanna... the people that are going to, that want to, one thing we will do, we only do, if you only want to buy a one-day badge, you can only buy that the day of. Right. So you can only buy a Saturday badge on Saturday. Okay?
Right.
That's, a lot of people ask that question. But you will also be able to use the barcode system. Because we have a link on our website that if you click on the link, it will take you to a page where you can type in all your information. It will generate a PDF with that stuff on it that doesn't save anywhere. You print that. It encodes it. You take that little piece of paper down there with you to regular registration. And you go, here is my form, my ID, and my money.
That is awesome. That is very awesome.
And there's your badge, and you're off to the con.
And I asked the question, because I did actually ask the people when I was there, I said, all right, so what happens if John Boutel goes up and he has his ID and he has his postcard and he gets a badge and somebody comes up later and says, no, I'm John Boutel. And it's like, whoever has the badge and the photo, the card and
you
the
photo
ID.
ID. That's why
that's why they're doing
photo
both.
ID.
And that's why they're doing both. And that is why it's so important to bring both when you come.
And the photo ID isn't a new requirement either, is it?
No,
it's always
not.
Been required.
But
it's always
a lot
been
of
required,
people
but.
Don't understand that. Well, what do you need my ID for? Well,
because we got to make sure you're really you.
Yeah.
Now,
make sure that it's you.
Oh. Now, what
not,
do
and
I,
the other issue
control
is
control your card. You know?
What do I do? What do I do if I have a 10-year-old daughter that's coming with me, and she doesn't have a photo ID? Okay.
Yeah, that was my question.
You have a 10-year-old daughter?
Your parent, the parent can vouch for them. Oh, if the parent has the same address and hopefully the same name, the parent can vouch for them as they can with anything else. I mean, that's a legal issue.
Right.
But we won't issue a badge to a minor without a parent's consent.
Yeah.
And so, can we actually ask for a birth date on when you register?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. You got to know that.
Because that determines, you know.
Right.
Because we do offer childcare for walking through 7. If you purchase the badge, we let children under 7, I think it is, babies,
that sounds right.
We don't charge for. We don't give them a badge, but we don't charge for them because they're babies. Because they're not going to remember anything.
Yeah.
But if they want to go to childcare so that the parents can go have some fun, then we have to be able to pay the babysitters because we bring in licensed bonded childcare people.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
They're not.
Those are actually people we do. Those are actually not volunteers.
We contract
those
with.
Are
we contract
we
with state licensed people.
Yeah.
Who are licensed to do childcare. So.
Now, will registration be in the Sheraton again this year?
It will.
Okay.
Yes, it will be in the Sheraton.
Awesome. And what's your plan if it starts raining? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
It's Atlanta in September.
Atlanta in September.
You're not going to be cold.
The rain won't last that long.
And it'll feel refreshing.
As soon as you... And I will say this, the Sheraton people have really, they've picked up on this stuff and they offer refreshments. They sell you refreshments the moment you get in the door.
Well, actually last year they even had one guy that was going up and down selling drinks in the line. Yes. So I'm like, the Sheraton figured this out.
Sheraton figured it out very quickly that, hey, people waiting in line in the hot sun. I bet they
want a Coke.
They buy a Coke.
Now, the conspiracy theorist
in me, that's my thinks, track, but, huh?
Thinks that maybe I've been hanging out with Lee too long, that maybe they're the ones that purposely slowed down the line.
Yeah.
Hey, see, but no. Then you guys can blame them.
Yeah,
and,
that's it.
I'm just kidding. All right, so let me ask you: what other? I know you had several events you wanted to talk about. What other things are coming up this year that are maybe new or that you really want to highlight?
going to have a 25th anniversary masked ball on Friday night. First night of the first official night of the convention. Masks will be required. However, we will have some available for purchase at our charity table, which will be set up right outside the room. Our costuming track is stepping up as part of their donation to charity, and they are going to be making some masks for that will be available for purchase. This is going to feature the Ghost Project, which is to them they used to be in the Changelings. It's and they are writing. Yeah, they're cool. And they're going to be writing us a special 25th anniversary waltz. Just for this event, which I think is very cool. I've been trying to get a Regency dance in here for a while. but we encourage this to be dressy. This is a, you know, if this is a ball, we won't turn anybody away who has a mask. You must have a mask. As I said, we won't have some available for purchase for a minimal thing. 10 o'clock.
It's starting at 10 o'clock. Okay, on Friday. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good to know.
And it will be in the Hyatt in Regency 6-7.
Very cool.
So, yes, I think it's going to be really awesome. And the Ghost Projects will also have some special guests coming in to play with them, so doing some different sets and stuff like that. So I think this would be a neat thing. And this is just for, because it's the 25th anniversary. We want to do something different. So there you go. I kind of like that event.
But, I like that. That sounds really cool. And then what else? What was the other thing?
The Dawn contest has retired. We are now going to have a contest called Comic Book Babes. So it is a broader contest.
Nice.
Yes, that encompasses anything comic book related. But it needs to be comic books. Okay, so we're trying to get that. We have so many of those wonderful costumes. And we want to see those people have a chance to really start their stuff. So, so we're having that. That will be Saturday night at 8:30 in the Hyatt Centennial 123. There will be a big prize for the winner for the best in show. And all of the contestants who enter will get a special print made by, done by one of our attending artists. We're working on who that exactly is going to be right now, but we've got a couple people we're working on. So, but they will get a special print that only they will get. It is juried. So, you will have to show up at like 4:00. For us to do a prejudging to make sure that, you know, you're not just buying a Batman shirt. That's not going to cut it. Okay.
That was going
to
be my
it
question.
It has to be a real costume.
Well, are you going to
If you have a comic for reference and you're showing, no, I'm doing this character right here when he was doing this, okay. Then we'll accept that. And we're going to have comic book professionals judging it.
Now, is there a cap on the number of entries?
Yeah, there'll probably be around 50 because we have time. You know, it's a time constraint.
How many have been in the Dawn contest?
It's around that same number, 50, okay. 60, all something right. like that. All so right. around the same time, but not focused on just one character. We're trying to open it up a little bit. So. Nice. We can broaden that horizon and let some of these people, like I said, do these awesome costumes, have a little stage time.
Yes.
And, I wanted to get that out there because I know a lot of people work on costumes frantically, I know a lot of people that are working on them now, but So that's something to look forward to.
Have those folks that has it been announced? And I'm not sure. I don't follow the Dawn
community. We're just getting into that
stage
where we're announcing that.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
because I imagine some people will be disappointed. Those folks that have been working on a Dawn costume,
they can still enter. Oh, Dawn cool. is
yeah, a not nothing
character.
Stops that.
It's just not only Dawn.
Mm.
They can still enter.
One thing too that I forgot to ask earlier was. How many official con hotels do we have now?
Five. Yeah. The Westin is an official host hotel this year.
Which means DragonCon TV in it.
DragonCon TV. The designation of host hotel means that they have information booths, official DragonCon information booths, and DragonCon television. If they have DragonCon TV in the hotel, then they are a host. Which is one of the reasons why Westin was not a host last year. They were an overflow who we used some of their space.
Yeah,
in regards to the Westin, I will tell you that there are three more tracks that are moving to the Westin.
Hmm.
Stargate, Apocalypse Rising, and The Wheel of Time.
Interesting.
We'll be joining Whedonverse and Alternate History over there.
Interesting.
So yeah, we've got some more space this year, and so we're spacing out so that we have more space for people to go, and so it's going to be awesome. We're going to have we've also added a track called Kaleidoscope, which is all the stuff that's like on Nickelodeon,
Disney.
All the stuff Disney, things like Wizards of Waverly Place, all those kind of media kind of things.
Interesting.
We have a young adult lit track, and it was getting to be kind of too much for all of that stuff to go in there, to go in, and they really, they have a lot in literary,
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and again, as I said early on, we're at 25 years here. So some of the people that maybe started coming when they were, I don't know, much younger, now have kids that are
those
watching
ages.
That stuff.
and
want to see it.
You're
right.
Myself included. So,
yeah, you and me both. I am not putting either one of us out of that. So, yeah, and see, this is a reason to start bringing your daughter.
So we've got that is that is a new track that's coming in. So there's a lot going on. One thing that I'm going to announce to y'all that I don't know when this is going to air, but I'm going to announce to y'all here, and it will be up pretty soon now, is you may have noticed that Jefferson Starship is going to be coming.
Yeah, yep. I noticed that. We were just talking about that the other day.
Jefferson Starship is not just doing one performance. They are going to do a performance that's, their classic hits.
Hmm.
But they are also doing, I think, this is created especially for us, for DragonCon. This is going to be the premiere of this. One of Starship's two performances is going to include the debut of a science fiction electrolica rock opera mosh, I'm reading this, of Blows Against the Empire and Vangelis' score for the film to Blade Runner.
That is totally weird.
Yeah. And
that
is
a and
wild.
It's
and
a
something...
concert that's going to be accompanied by multimedia projection featuring HD slides of the set design from the film.
Wow, that
it's
sounds like
a
something
thing
that has to
that,
be
seen. Yeah, they've made this thing. They want to premiere it at DragonCon. They're celebrating their 40th year of Jefferson Starship. And since we're celebrating an anniversary too, they decided at 25, they decided this would be the perfect place to come up with this new concept that they wanted to do this rock opera, and we said,
"Go,
we'll make a spot for you." Yeah, no problem. Because I wanted to do this special thing for us, and we were like, "Coolness!" So that's another thing that's just for 25, you know.
Has it been scheduled yet? Do you have a time and a place?
It will also
yet?
Be Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Which hotel?
At the Marriott.
Marriott.
Mm-hmm. So, it's.
Like in just
we
one
got
of the,
lots of stuff going on.
Like in one of the breakout rooms, right? It's only going to be in
the
breakout
atrium.
Room.
Yeah, in the largest ballroom. In the Marriott. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, well, it's going to be really cool. So,
well, we are getting to time, Regina, so we're going to wrap it up with our one more question, which is, we've already got a lot of guests.
Yeah.
Who are you really, who would you love to have, if at all? Yeah, who would you love to have this year, and what are you personally can't wait to go see and do?
Well, I mean, I answered this last year, you know, if it was living or dead, you know, my dream guest would be Isaac Asimov. But you know, I'm pretty excited about Carrie Fisher. I've never actually seen her. I'm hoping I get to see her this time, because a lot of times, as you know, Lee.
Yes, I do.
I really don't see. I see the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of a lot of stuff. Because I'm always on the move. Because you know, I'm always making sure this is going right, and then I move on to the next thing. So, but I'm hoping to see that. I'm thinking that will be pretty cool. I'm hoping to see one of the Supernatural panels.
Yep.
I'm in love with Misha Collins.
Yeah, oh God.
So, you know,
I got so funny
watching stuff on. Yes. I've watched stuff on YouTube and stuff, and seeing that he is so not like his character.
Yeah,
who is so flat, you know, deadpan, and he's like the prankster, and you know, and so I would love to see how different he is when he's you know, talking.
I think that's going to be I think the Supernatural.
I have great respect for Jim Beaver. Jim Beaver.
Yes.
You know, he's one of those character actors that you see stuff on TV and you go like, that's Jim Beaver.
Yeah.
He was on
there. There's certain actors you see that and you're like, okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat. I have two more things that I want to talk about. Real briefly, I did this last year.
Okay. Go for it. Of
the top three things that are asked at the office. I told them that I would do that. The new barcode system is one of the top questions, of course. The schedule.
Mm-hmm.
When are we getting the schedule? We've already started getting those calls.
Yeah, Lee's publishing hers today.
Yeah.
70 days out right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's saying that you might get to see it, is what she said. You have an inside track.
I don't get to see it. No, he's not. I don't like him that much. No.
The schedule comes out approximately a week before the convention. Mm-hmm. If you get it earlier than that, it's a bonus.
Later than that, guess what, folks? It happens because we have changes all the time.
We do. We do all the schedule. Everybody submits stuff. They all submit things that they hope they get. And a lot of times with some very popular guests, there are a lot of people that ask for them. And, you know, they only do a limited number of appearances a day. So I have to shift all that around, tell everybody, and then we send them the schedule for their approval. And then they come back and say, well, I'm not actually getting there until 2:30, and you have me on a 1 o'clock panel. And so then the great shuffle begins again, where I have to go through all these, particularly flights, and try to get the best schedule I can. Then it has to be laid out and put to print. And the moment she gets that and it's going to the printer, she posts that online. So believe me, you're getting it as quick as we can do it. But when we have last minute additions, like we did a couple of years ago with Mr. Shatner, things change. You know, I got that call at 10 o'clock at night. And it was like, we have Mr. Shatner. You need to rearrange the schedule.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I had to rearrange the schedule. And we had to hold off printing and all that stuff. So that's the short answer. A week before, please understand that we're getting it to you as quickly as possible.
And,
but it's a week before.
And constantly calling the office asking for it isn't going to make it come any faster.
It's not going to make it be any faster because they have no control over it at all. They have no control over it. Everything, I'm going to say this, everything is tentative until it is history.
Yep.
And what that means is until the panel is over.
It didn't happen.
It hasn't happened.
That's right.
And it could move. Last year, I had a lot of people on Friday morning panels where the panels were very light or got canceled because of the hurricane that was
right
off of Florida. And that was screwing up weather patterns. So please be patient. We update as soon as we know, but a lot of times we're sitting at the airport waiting for them and the plane just is not there yet. So we get there as quickly as we can, but, you know, some people are really great about it, and if we have time, we can try to reschedule them during the day. But, you know, the other thing is Walk of Fame prices and photography prices.
Yes.
We do, many people call and say, do you know what John Smith is going to charge for his autograph?
No. John Smith? Just kidding.
We don't.
I don't see him on your list here. Has he been announced yet?
That is set by the artists themselves or their agents. Some of those things are advertised on their websites. For instance, we have used Froggy's photos in the past. Mm-hmm. They will coordinate with us about, you know, when they're on stage. So hopefully they're not trying to shoot photos while they're supposed to be on stage. But we don't set those prices. That is all set by the artists and those people. So that is a big misconception.
Yes, it is.
That is one of the reasons why, you know, that we have a Walk of Fame is because we don't pay appearance fees.
Right.
The way like some of the like Creation is famous for. We don't pay those appearance fees. We let the fans tell them basically through their dollars what they're worth. But because we have 40,000 people there, they usually do okay.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they usually make what their appearance fee would be.
Right.
So, but we don't know what those prices are. Sometimes people, you know, some people pay, you know, charge a lot and, you know, and they get it. And sometimes you might get a deal on Monday.
You never know. And sometimes, you never know. Hey.
You never know.
Nor do we. Here's the thing, folks.
And we say either way. Yeah. You know.
Right. So, yep.
That's the same thing. So, I just wanted to address that real quickly because I told the office I would. So.
Oh, no, please. Thank you. And, hey, this is why we do. I think a part of, John wanted to do this. John, how many years have we done this now? Four? Three?
Four now, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, a part of the reason is to let people know, look, there's, you guys just show up and have fun, which we are thrilled that you do.
Yes.
But just to give you a little bit of that behind the curtain stuff, because people will know. And this is how we also get out the right information.
Right. And like I said, as I tried to stress before, but this is a volunteer organization. We all have jobs.
And real jobs.
And
yes.
Lives. And, you know. I don't have any children because I have conventions. But,
you have 40,000 children.
I have 40,000 children, yes. But you know, John, you have a daughter, and yeah. Lee, you have a son, and there are family family things that we have to do. So we're doing this for the love of it in our spare time.
Yeah.
So, you know, be kind. We're doing the best we can. And, I don't sleep in August much.
It's really funny. I remember last year somebody said something to me. It was about Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And they said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I'll be much better Monday."
Right.
And they just kind of, and it was a friend, and it was like, I'm having a good time. It'll be fine. But Monday about 6 o'clock, I'll be able to go,
I'm done. I can go to sleep. Yeah.
I can sleep now. I can sleep now without worrying about.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are like, why am I getting an email from you at 4 a.m.?
Well, I was
because
up and
I woke up and yeah, and needed to tell you this so I could go back to sleep. Wow. Yeah. It even invades the few hours I have there.
It does.
I'm still
it does.
Working on it.
Oh, it does. Or anyway, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you'll go, what did I do?
So,
yeah. But
thank
this
you
was
all.
So much fun, and thank you, Regina. This no is great, problem. As always, every
thank
year.
You.
Woohoo.
Thanks,
and tell, and,
no problem.
And tell the other directors that, you know what, see, we're nice, and we chat, and we're not going to fight. It's not scary.
Well, Lee does, but don't tell him that. Don't let him know.
We all know.
They
ask
very, very nicely.
All right, Regina, I thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
As always, as we stated several times, remember, information here is take it with a grain of salt. It's not an official
things
Dragon
may
Con
change.
Podcast. It's not.
It will change. Things will change.
Well, things will change. And yeah, that's the only constant is change.
Is change. Yes.
So until next time, folks, thank you, Lee, for
thank you, John.
Co-hosting as usual. And again, thank you, Regina. And until next time, peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share-alike non-commercial license.